XAML head is an affectionate term for those who love XAML, are really into it, and try and grok it all the time. Today we're here with two XAML heads, like the official XAML heads, to talk about XAML and what's new in .NET 4. So please introduce yourself.
Cool. Yeah, thanks for having us. My name is Rob Relier, and I'm an architect on the WPF and XAML team. Very excited to be here now that .NET 4 is out, beta 1. We've got a lot of exciting things to share.
Great.
I'm Mike Shim. I'm a program manager on the WPF and XAML team. I'm also really excited to be here to talk about all the new stuff we've been working on.
Very good. So you guys have been working on this for a while, right?
We've been working on new XAML engine for WPF since 3.0 shipped, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay.
So for about 2 years.
So yeah, great. Okay, so real quick, though, we should explain a little bit about what XAML is for some of those who may have just heard the name and not know exactly what it means.
Sure.
So can you give us like just what it is and like why we use it?
Right. Well, so WPF and Silverlight both use XAML, mm-hmm. And also Workflow and WCF now in .NET 4 as well. They use XAML to declaratively say things instead of just saying everything in code.
Okay.
And they pick a standard file format, and we've got a consistent set of rules of how that file format, that XML-based file format, maps to an object graph.
Mm-hmm.
So usually you just declare what you'd like to have happen, and the object graph gets built.
Okay, great. One of the benefits of it, I guess, is, like you said, it's a single format that all the different tools can understand, as well as it's also human-readable in some sense.
Right. So, yeah, I've got a blog post from a couple of years ago about the 7 goals of XAML.
Uh-huh.
Human readability, tool ability, a lot of those things are really important.
Okay. Maybe that's what I'm quoting from, because
right.
I remember reading that.
And,
so.
And Carson and Jaime posted a paper all about just how now tools and designers can work together, designers and developers mm-hmm. can work together, and it allows Visual Studio and Expression Blend and other tools to go ahead and work on the same kind of things.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure to link to that. So, okay, so what's new in version 4?
Well, so in version 3, we had the XAML engine built into the WPF assemblies.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been a lot of people who want to run on the server and don't want to load Presentation Framework DLL up on the
sure.
server and things like that. So first of all, we've got a new component called System XAML DLL.
Okay.
We've talked about it at PDC 08.
Mm-hmm.
And it provides a great foundation for WPF's use, WF's use, WCF's use as well.
Okay.
And inside of that engine, we've also made a number of language enhancements. So we've evolved the language to support things like generics and better events and things like that.
Okay.
And we also have a great new set of APIs that allow analysis and things like that.
Okay.
So people can take XAML and do a lot of scenarios that they weren't able to do before.
Okay. So they can kind of extend or build on top of it, I guess.
Sure. And there's scenarios like XAMLPad. If when people were building XAMLPad in the past,
mm-hmm.
It was difficult to, if you ever said click equals foo inside of XAMLPad, if you ever copy and pasted code from Visual Studio or Blend into XAMLPad,
right.
it blew up if
yeah.
it had any events or if it had X colon class because the parser couldn't handle those kind of things.
Okay.
Now it'd be real easy for somebody to build XAMLPad to filter X colon class out and events out.
Okay.
So you could paste it in there and it would still build an object graph for you. You'd still build all those things for you.
Okay. All right. Well, so go ahead.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we've got a little demo of such a thing of XAMLPad, and just to talk a little bit about some of the data model, the new data model we have and the new APIs we have in System XAML. So we've got 3 checkboxes here inside the stack panel. And for those of you who aren't very familiar with XAML, there's a bunch of different ways to say the same, to basically set the same property. So you can put the content of a checkbox inside of it like this, and that's setting the content property of it. You could also put a property element inside, and that's saying, I want to set the property named content
mm-hmm.
to the hello value on the checkbox. Or you can also use attribute form to go ahead and set those things.
Okay.
And to XAML, it's all the same thing. But if you are writing an XML tool to go ahead and parse this or to understand this, it's really three different XML trees and things
right.
like that. So effectively what we're doing is we're making it so that to the data model that System XAML exposes
uh-huh.
is one consistent model. So we figure out what the meaning is. We take XML nodes in and we figure out the right meaning of it, the XAML node meaning, and we create XAML nodes.
Okay.
And so this is a visual representation of this. This is a representation of the different objects we're creating, checkboxes, the different properties we're setting with the different values. And down here we had a checkbox with another object inside of it. Here you see the checkbox with the content property with a rectangle inside of it with three other properties set on that as well. So Our data model is pretty simple, Mike. Do you want to go through the nodes we've got in the data model?
As Rob just said, we have a bunch of different nodes. We have the start object, which is that green one up there, the dark green one. We have the orange ones, which are the start members.
Start member, end object, end member.
And then the green ones are actually what we call get objects. That's where we actually get the value from the property directly, as opposed to creating an instance.
The light green ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
So those are usually collections.
Yeah, those are usually collections.
So we also have namespace nodes. They don't show up here. I've got another representation of this. If you wanted to, you could see this. So basically, there's namespace nodes that come across the start objects, the start members, the values. Now, an interesting progression there is people sometimes wonder what happens when XAML gets parsed. And they're like, well, what does this map to in code?
Right.
And Mike last Friday, and I tweaked it a little bit last night, wrote what we call a camel generator. Mm-hmm. Now, people have heard of XAML.
Yes,
people have heard of BAML.
Ask.
People may have heard of CAML.
Yes.
So XAML, of course, is the text format, the XML format.
Mm-hmm.
BAML is what the WPF markup compiler compiles XAML into in a more optimized form inside of DLLs and mm-hmm. executables. And CAML is something that we had running back in 2003, 2004, yeah. And we decided to just go with BAML because we were able to have one code path and optimize that, and it was doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
But some people still like code, and so this is just a quick example of a tool that processes the node stream uses the XAML XML reader now in .NET 4, processes that XAML node stream mm-hmm. and decides what kind of code to create. And it talks to code DOM, and we'll go ahead and do these things. So this first checkbox here is going to go declare a checkbox, create a new checkbox. It already has the UI element collection from the stack panel that it got before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to go ahead and add that checkbox in there. Now you'll notice that it does that before it sets any of its properties. And then in WPF, there's basically a top-down or bottom-up.
Right.
Thing. So basically, the framework elements are all built top-down,
mm-hmm.
and we'll wire them up as soon as we've got them, so invalidations and performance are happy. But things like solid color brushes, freezable objects are usually built bottom-up, and most objects in the world are built bottom-up.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, so here we go. We set the content, and we create the other checkbox, et cetera. So we'll post this. We'll probably have it posted by now.
Sure,
We'll post this up on my blog and Windows Client.
.net. So this is the... You're going to post this. This is like a camel generator? Or, I mean, what would you call it? Or maybe you don't have a name for it.
I guess it's a camel generator at this point. A camel writer.
Sure, yeah. Or, yeah, code writer. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. But so what this is showing, though, I mean, the first thing I'm thinking is it really does illustrate that the checkbox, it's the same code. Yeah. You know, even though the XAML is different, like you're saying, it's interpreted the same way. So it helps me learn, like you said, how the XAML engine is interpreting it. But then also, is this part of what they can build off of then? Like once they
sure. So these are built on top of these lower level APIs. We're mm-hmm. using in SystemXAML DLL. We have the XAML XML reader, which can serve up these nodes. Now normally, when you call our old XAML reader.load and application load component in WPF,
right.
under the covers, we are calling the new XAML XML reader and the BAML 2006 reader, uh-huh. which are public types as well. So if you want to, you can go on and not dig deep
uh-huh.
and stay with those same APIs.
Okay.
But if you have needs to customize and enhance or build tools or
sure.
Or do any sort of generation, you could do that. And
okay.
our model is basically split up into a reader and a writer model, much like XML reader and XML writer model.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a XAML XML reader, which processes XML nodes and creates XAML nodes.
Okay.
And then we have a XAML object writer, which takes XAML nodes in
mm-hmm.
and creates object graphs.
Okay.
So if we click over here and click on object, now this is the typical hello or XAML pad example that you'd see.
Sure.
Now that's going from X to O, from XAML to object. We also can go the other way. We have a XAML object reader
okay.
that'll take an object graph and send down object XAML nodes.
Great.
And we have a XAML XML writer that will write it down.
Okay.
And then for BAML, we also have a BAML reader now. We hope to ship a BAML writer eventually as well, but
okay.
probably not 4.0. But if you wanted to, though, we've taken away the tie to an XML file format. So if somebody wanted to store this stuff in a database or in some other funny-looking text format or their own binary format, or let's say they wanted to have a DOM, you know, in XML, of course, you've got the XML reader APIs and you've got the DOM APIs. Well, in our world, you've got now you've got a reader API where you don't need to go ahead and create everything at once. And you've got the object graph you can go create, of course. And then if you wanted to, actually, Mike's code here in the why don't you tell us a little bit about how this is created, just the DOM?
Yeah, it actually uses a DOM internally. It just takes the entire node stream and creates a DOM so that then I can process on it. So I don't need to like scan ahead and scan back. I just have a DOM so I can look at all the properties and figure out what I need to bring up. So I just go through and write out all the code using code DOM by and using the XAML nodes, making a DOM, and then going to the code DOM.
So we're not shipping our XAML DOM. We'll include it in this example. We don't think we need to ship it in the .NET framework. Right. It's really simple. We have object nodes and member nodes and, and value nodes, and it maps to the same data model.
Okay.
But there's, if you think of Blend and Citer both kind of do this. They load from XML, they populate it into a DOM of their own making, and then they go ahead and create the object graph, and they just kind of keep those three data models in sync.
Okay.
So as you change any of the states, it changes the DOM, it changes the objects, and it writes it back out to XAML.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So 4.0 is actually a huge deal for XAML alone, right? I mean, this is a big...
Yeah, we really only had four APIs before,
yeah. You know,
the ones we'd mentioned before, and now we've got a really rich set of APIs, a rich set of functionality.
Okay.
In WPF, there's going to be a bunch of benefits as well for WPF users. First of all, maybe you want to talk about the V3, just our three parsers.
So
how many parsers did we have?
In V3, we had a lot of parsers. We had one for templates, one for everything else, one for styles, and then one for composite fonts.
Wow.
So we're condensing it now so that we only we have two. We still have the one for composite fonts, but we're going to have one for template styles and everything. Just as one parser.
So we used to have unique bugs in each of those things. If you put something in a style, it might work one way. If you put it in a template, it'd work another way.
Yeah.
So now we're on one consistent thing, fixing a lot of the customer issues that people have brought up, the bugs they've raised, et cetera, and making sure we got
much easier for
great implementation.
We're moving towards just one parser that handles all three together, so we don't have as many bugs as we've had in the past.
Very good.
And we've done a lot of work to rewire the way that styles and templates work so that it works on one parser now.
Okay. So you have new features as well. Could you run through some of those kind of new features for like 2009 XAML?
Sure.
Is that going to be the namespace?
Yeah, we're going to have a XAML 2009
namespace.
It's not in the beta win build yet, though.
Okay.
Mike, do you want to talk through your first few of these?
So in the past, there was no real way to reference another object in the XAML. In XAML. So what we're adding now is x:reference, which allows you to reference something via name. In the past, in WPF, what you could do is you could use a binding with an element name equal to something, and that would work.
Okay.
However, we're now making it so that anybody can use this without having to use WPF or binding.
Okay.
So you can use it on a regular object. You don't need a dependency object anymore. We have x:reference, which allows you to just reference something using a marker extension. We've also added a type converter that basically just allows you to reference that directly. We have a service provider that allows you to just pass in a name and you get the object back.
Yeah, so a lot of this stuff, some of it will be useful to XAML folks, some of it will be useful for tool builders. The things that Mike just referenced, the service provider and the type converter, this is for people building their own class libraries, whether they're extending WPF or Silverlight, or whether they're extending or just building their own little domain-specific language that uses XAML as a backbone.
Okay.
And if they want to have name references. So there's people who see this feature that are trying to model different things in XAML, and this feature alone is like, yes, that's what we want. We want to be able to refer to objects via names to be able to build a good format.
Okay.
So in the past, you had to reference system in MS-CoreLib in order to access string, double, int, all those things. So we're just making those part of the default XAML namespace now. So you just do x:string, x:char, whatever you want, and they'll all be there now. So
Yep, just simple authoring there.
Very good.
We're also making generic support in XAML. So instead of having to create your own collection that's a generic collection and using that in XAML, you can just say observable collection.
Very good.
type arguments and pass in the type.
Okay. This is what I like to refer as catching up with .NET 2.
Yeah, exactly. This is great. Okay.
So we had support for Xcolon type arguments, but only in markup compilation scenarios and only on the root in V3. Yeah, so we always wanted to do this. We just didn't have time in 3.0.
Right.
We're also, in the past, keys had to be strings or markup extensions. Mm-hmm. Now they can be whatever you want. And if you're using generics, we'll actually type convert them for you. So if you have a generic of int comma string, will convert the keys to ints for you.
Okay. So great.
And so this is just another hard coding that we removed. Is you can see a key used as an attribute or as a property element.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Throughout, you know, our abstraction, our API, the nodes, start member, end member, doesn't say whether it was defined as an attribute or as a property element. And so basically, right, it's impossible for us to build in things like we built in 3.0 where it only work as one.
Okay, great.
And then in the past, events had to be wired in BAML. We'd have to compile in the event into a generated file. We're removing that restriction, so now in XAML, mm-hmm, we can find events on the root object for you.
Okay.
And then also we're allowing it so you can use delegates or use markup extensions or anything you want in order to get an event. You don't actually need to have an event, yeah, it's just a delegate that we're wiring.
So that's to another service provider that any type author or markup extension author could deal with. Now there's ability to get to the root object, which is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ability to have markup extensions in events now. Those never could happen before. Now you can put it there in the event and customize, have more flexibility in what you're doing.
WPF doesn't really support this, but we're adding support so that markup compilers can generate properties and members in your code behind for you. And the WF markup compiler actually uses this, so they have Xcolon members and Xcolon properties that they can inject into their generated file so they can use it in code for you. But the WPF markup compiler won't support
Okay.
Not yet.
It will eventually.
But the Blend team is really excited about us doing this sometime in the future. So, so we'll be doing that in the future.
Okay.
In the past, there was no way to pass an argument, so you had to call the default constructor. We're allowing you to call non-default constructors now. So
that's great.
You can pass in Xcolon arguments and pass in whatever you want into the non-default constructors, and we'll figure out whichever one that we need to call and call the right non-default constructor for you.
Okay.
We kind of had the support for markup extensions in the past, but we're now just making it so that everything can use it.
Great.
And then the other thing is we're allowing you to call factory methods.
Oops, sorry.
So instead of, like, in the past, you couldn't use a GUID in XAML at all because you need to call a factory method. But now we allow you to call a factory method.
Okay.
And you can actually tie that with Xcolon arguments, so you can have a factory method where you pass in arguments as well.
Great.
So.
Very good.
So not a ton of new language features, but that combined with some great APIs and some better factoring of how type converters and markup extensions can get to services, there's a lot of new capabilities opened up.
Yeah, and the beauty is if we do decide to add more features, WPF, WCF, and WF will all gain them together. We don't need to go through and make sure that every single parser supports it. It's just
very good. Right. And you have less parsers as well. So, which is good.
Yeah. There's also the service providers we've provided. We only had three public ones in the past. So the type converters and markup extensions, we now have around 8 or so.
All right. So this is, like we said, this is a really big deal for XAML to move to 4.0. And so where is this going to be available?
So .NET, go download VS 2010, .NET 4.0.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a try right now.
Right.
When you run your applications, if you recompile them targeting 4.0, they'll work. You can also use the .xc.config to target them towards 4.0 and just use your existing compiled application if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love you to test out your applications with the beta 1 and flag any issues, any compatibility issues you see. We've been working really hard on compatibility, and we'd love you to try it out. We'd also love you to try our APIs if you have scenarios that you want to read or write or process XAML.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love feedback on those things soon. We're going to be trying to blog a bunch of samples, and we'd love people to interact and let us know what they think and what else they need.
So it's WindowsClient.net.
So WindowsClient.net. I'll link to it on this site.
Okay.
But yeah, WindowsClient.net/Rob_Relier is my blog, and we might have some other posts as well. But I'll link to them all from there.
Very good. All right. So. Well, thanks a lot, guys, for coming by.
Yeah,
this is very exciting stuff.
It's great to ship.
Yeah, exactly.